We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
During the summer, when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with your friends. Or alone on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, so you can enjoy all the summertime vibes. Whether you're sharing a pic from a rooftop, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show episode after episode. So stay connected to your favorite people and your favorite things with AT&T 5G and home internet. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
Together, y'all are like a mega force. Y'all just took over every.
Wake your punk ass up.
This Chris Brown. I've officially joined the Breakfast Club. Say something, mother.
I'm with it.
The world's most dangerous morning show.
Breakfast Club, bitches.
Good morning, USA.
Yo.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, TJMV.
Charlamagne the God.
Peace to the planet. It's Monday.
Yes, it's Monday. Back to the work week. Good morning.
Good morning. What's happening? I woke up this morning and I saw it was a, I don't know how the weather is in everybody else's area, but in New York City, it was a tornado.
It was nasty last night.
Yeah, nasty.
They said it was an actual tornado.
Disgusting.
Yeah, it was
I didn't
nasty.
Know it was an actual tornado. I was actually out. I went to go get something to eat, and I was driving back home, and all of a sudden, the weather just went crazy. And I,
oh, them
right
tornadoes
before I parked
gonna play.
My
car. Them tornadoes pull up out of nowhere. The whole sky get dark, everything get black. It sounded like a train coming.
I was like, what's happening? This is awful.
No, they said yesterday on the news, they said expect bad weather. They said anything that has to be tied down, tie it down. Umbrellas, there was like anything. They said it's about to get disgusting. Yeah.
Who lost their wig last night unsuspectingly and didn't know? Who? We'd like to hear from you.
My goodness.
Okay.
All right.
Man, what's going on?
Yeah, but that was disgusting last night.
I see our friend Donnell Rawlings is in the hospital.
What happened, Donnell?
I'm not sure. I gotta find that out.
Wow.
I'm all concerned. Right. All right. Well, yeah.
All right. Well, Ro Khanna will be joining us this morning.
Oh, yes. Ro Khanna, man, he's a congressman, I believe, right? But he also is really, really, really big into the tech world, and he wants to get black people in into the tech world.
Right. And yes. Also, we have somebody that has a great app that is allowing anybody to get involved. You don't have to be a celebrity. You don't have to be a millionaire or billionaire. You can invest if you want very, 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 very small. So Isaac Hayes III will be joining us this morning.
That's right. So you see how they go hand in hand. Rokana wants you to get into the tech world, and then either case has an opportunity for you to get into the tech world.
That's right.
Okay.
So we're gonna be talking about investments this morning. It's not gonna be something too crazy. It's gonna be well, we'll talk to them in a little bit, and you can hear all for yourself. But let's get the show cracking. Front page news. What are we talking about?
Well, let's talk about Barack Obama and his new book. He's been doing some interviews. He did 60 Minutes, and we'll tell you some of the takeaways from that.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, in NFL, the Browns beat the Texans 10-7. The Lions beat the Washington football team 30-27. The Packers beat the Jaguars 24-20. Buccaneers beat the Panthers 46-23. Raiders beat the Broncos 37-12. The Dolphins beat the Chargers 29-21. Cardinals beat the Bills 32-30. Rams beat the Seahawks 23-16. The Steelers beat the Bengals 36-10. The Saints beat San Francisco 49ers 27-13. The Patriots beat the Baltimore Ravens. It looks like the Cowboys, y'all had a night off?
Is it just me, or the NFL just suck this year?
The Giants beat the Eagles 27-17. I don't know about your
pointless game. Pointless game. Should have been a game that they canceled for social distancing purposes. No need for any NFC East teams to be playing at all, especially each other.
Our record is better than the Cowboys right now. And it looks like the Brooklyn Nets might be getting James Harden. We'll see what happens. What else we got?
Brooklyn Nets getting James Harden.
Yep.
That's the first on his list of teams he wants to join.
Houston's getting rid of James Harden? When did this happen? I saw them talking about getting rid of Russell Westbrook over the weekend. When did they talk about getting rid of James Harden?
Well, James Harden says he possibly would like a trade, and the first team he would like to go to is the Brooklyn Nets.
Let's go, Brooklyn! All right, and you know, you saw the Miami Marlins have hired their first ever woman general manager in Major League Baseball, and that's a huge thing. She's the highest-ranking woman in baseball operations among the 30 MLB teams, so that is really dope. So congratulations to her, Kim Ng.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now let's talk about Barack Obama. He was on Gayle King on CBS Sunday morning, and here's what he had to say. He had a pretty interesting interview about why he won't be joining Biden's staff.
He doesn't need my advice, and I will help him in any ways that I can. Now, I'm not planning to suddenly work on the White House staff or something.
No cabinet position for you,
Mr.
President?
There are probably some things I would not be doing because Michelle would leave me.
Yes.
She'd be like, what? You're doing what?
Why would you be president? Well, I was going to say, when he was on 60 Minutes, just to expand on that, he was on 60 Minutes as well Sunday evening with Scott Pelley. He talked about how Michelle Obama did not even want him to run for president.
Just 2 years earlier, I had run for the U.S. Senate. 2 years before that, I had run for Congress. A couple of years before that, I had run for the state Senate. We've got two young kids. Michelle's still working. And I ask myself in the book, how much of this is just megalomania? How much of this is me trying to prove something to myself? And over time, she made a conclusion that I shouldn't stand in the way. And the fact that I ended up winning didn't necessarily alleviate her frustration because the toll it takes on families is real.
Well, first of all, I can't wait to read Barack Obama's book. It's 300 pages longer than Michelle's book, by the way. Michelle's book was 468. Obama's book is 700 plus. But how would you be president of the United States and then come back to work in somebody's cabinet? That's hustling backwards, ain't it? We friends. I can consult you. Call my phone. I'm not about to come work in the cabinet. Has that ever happened? Has a president ever been president and went to work in somebody's cabinet?
I don't think so.
Why
that doesn't make sense, like you said.
Well, I think at first she was just asking him about, what, you know, is he giving him any advice? And then it was just a follow-up because he was saying he doesn't think Joe Biden needs any advice from him. So
yeah, it's just weird. Like, why I was president. Why would I come work in the cabinet for you? Like, I don't know.
All right, well, that is your front page news.
All right, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up right now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it. When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
During the summer, when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends and family or on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, whether you're at home or on the go, so you can stay connected to your loved ones and to your favorite things. Whether you're sharing pics from the best rooftops, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show episode after episode after episode. So connect at home or on the move with AT&T 5G and home internet and create memories and more all summer long. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
The Breakfast Club. This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed. 800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's up, Envy?
Hey, what's up, Trav?
Hey,
hey, Trav. Hey, boo.
How you doing, babe? Charlamagne,
hey,
what's going
how
on?
Peace, sis. What's happening?
Listen, I'm irritated, man. I'm so irked. I just want to say that the Philadelphia Parking Authority has made my life a living hell this weekend because they out here just booting and towing people's cars that they think owe them money. And they booted and towed my car this weekend.
You should owe them money? People money, Trav. Why you owe them people money?
No, I don't want to hear that, man. Like they can't be trying to tell people where to park and where they can't park.
Yes,
so
they can.
The Philadelphia Parking Authority, because they had the audacity to come to my block. They actually came to my block and booted my car on my block. And I've been hiding in front of them for 8 months.
Well, pay them people what you owe, Trav.
That's right. Right.
Stop giving people 68 talking about you. I owe you one. Pay them people.
But it's fine because Breakfast Club Change for Change is coming up, and I got a good $5,000 waiting on me. So I'll be
you
looking
sure
out
don't.
For y'all. $5,000, Trav.
Don't even think that.
How'd your Eagles do, though?
All right. Say it again, Envy.
How'd your Eagles do?
I'm a Cowboys fan. Don't disrespect me.
Exactly. Man, McCullough here all these years and been a diehard Dallas Cowboy fan. You gonna tell him he an Eagles fan?
They both trash. Hello, who's this?
Sophie.
Hey, get it off your chest.
Okay, you guys made a statement about President Obama coming back to work in someone's campaign, and I just really feel like my hat goes off to him because he knows that there's work need to be done in this country. You know, that's the way that I feel about him coming back to work in somebody else's campaign.
No, not campaign. They said Joe Biden, they said his cabinet. No, it don't make sense for him to work in somebody's cabinet. Barack Obama is an entity all to himself. He can invoke change so many other ways. He does not have to work in Joe Biden's cabinet. That don't even sound right.
No. It does to me, Charlamagne. You always disagree with people.
That's her opinion.
Thank you, Mama.
You can't show me any other time in history that's ever happened where a president has come worked in another president's cabinet.
Yeah, I don't think it makes sense. Hello, who's this?
Hi, my name's Carl, DJ. How you doing?
Okay, Carl, Mr. Quiet Storm voice.
Get it, Carl. All right,
Carl. Get it off your chest,
Hi,
Carl.
Hi, Angela Lee. Hi, Charlamagne the God.
Hey, Carl.
Hello, Carl. How are you, Carl?
I just wanted to say hello, y'all, and say let you know that I'm blessed this morning. I really do appreciate y'all taking my call. I'm a black businessman. I started my own kink company, and we're growing exponentially right now. We're about to rebrand and show off our new logo, a new website that I've dumped my life savings into to help grow this company. But is turning out to be worth it, and I'm very grateful, and I just wanted to share that with you guys. I'm a big fan. I listen to you every morning on the way to work, and with COVID, we haven't been to work in a while, so I listen to you every morning on iHeartRadio instead.
Well, thank you, man. You sound like you should be doing voiceover work for somebody, like you should be selling cheese or something.
I would love to take that job, Charlamagne. If you want to hire me, I'll be there first thing in the morning.
Oh, I don't sell cheese.
Wow. All right.
But if I did, I'd hire you to do a cheese commercial.
There you go. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Let's go.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's up, baby? It's Mello.
Mello, what up, bro? Get it off your chest.
Yo, so listen, man, on Friday, I'm not sure if I heard that correctly, but I believe Angela Yee might have told me to start an OnlyFans. So, I spent the weekend.
What?
Nah, remember? Because I made Charlamagne scream. Pause. Pause.
Okay, yeah, but you should do an OnlyFans.
Facts. So now, I need help picking a name, you feel me? I got a few options I want to run by y'all. Let me know which one
okay.
y'all think is the best.
Let's hear it.
So, one of them I saw on the gram, you know, Charlamagne niece, she said when you order Morris Chestnut, that you get Charlamagne. So I was thinking, all right, I could be Morris Left, you know? Another one,
wow.
Just play your names, Chris Dot Sports Sling. My personal favorite.
I like that one. Cream. I like that one.
Which one you think is the best? Or Martin Luther King?
Martin Luther King is disrespectful. I like Chris Dot Sports Sling. That's a good one. That's super solid.
I bet I'm definitely doing this. Follow me on OnlyFans, Chris Dot Sports Sling. It's coming soon. How y'all doing over
there? Hey, you got to do what you got to do. Christmas around the corner, bro.
I got mad gifts. Everybody on my Christmas list is it. What y'all want for Christmas, by the way, since y'all brought it up?
Nothing.
We good, brother. I'm good.
Oh, I want a new sofa.
I bet. I got you. My credit good. I got you, E.
Oh, boy. All right. Thank you, Mello.
Sofa, I want $30,000.
Hello. Who's this?
This is Tanya.
Hey, Tanya. Get it off your chest.
Well, I want to get off my chest that I am engaged to a man that I am not happy with, that I am not in love with.
What?
And every day it just gets worse. Me looking at him, I get frustrated and I'm just like over it.
Sounds like you need to call up the engagement.
I mean, I don't wear my ring anymore, but, you know, we still live together. So it's kind of, I don't know, it's become awkward now in the house because we don't talk.
Wow, what happened?
Why are you wasting your time, though?
I mean, because I'm comfortable with him. He takes care of me. He does.
He got that bag.
I mean, I work
yep.
the same old mm-hmm. school, but, you know, he makes life better, a little better. But I just can't deal with some of his ways. I just can't. So
you just don't like him.
I don't know. I told him I wasn't happy. I told him things needed to change, what he needed to do to make me happy, and he still doesn't. So I'm planning on leaving. You know that. I just don't know him.
So why are you calling us if you already know what you want to do? You just need some confirmation that you might
she
need to be out of her chest.
She's just getting it off her chest.
I just needed to get
I'm asking her. Okay.
It's called get it off your chest.
I don't talk to people, you know. I just always pray about things. I just need to get it. So just need to get it off my chest.
All right, mama.
So when you plan to leave before the holidays, because don't take none of his gifts. See what I'm saying?
I actually was going to tell him, hey, not to send me, buy me any Christmas gifts. He actually just texted me and told me he loved me.
Wow. But you text him back.
Now he about to hear you all over the radio saying that you don't love him.
All right, mama.
He knows.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. Now we got rumors on the way, Yee?
Man, so much happened over the weekend. We're going to talk about Benny the Butcher getting shot. We'll also talk about coronavirus, and a few different people have come forward and said that they have it. One person is in intensive care.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dad deserves something really nice for Father's Day, but let's face it, we usually don't do it. Big gifts are for Mother's Day. Picking something up on the way is for Father's Day. Well, let's make Father's Day something this year with the Bartesian Cocktail Maker. It whips up over 60 premium cocktails on demand, each ready at the push of a button. And right now, you get $50 off the Bartesian Cocktail Maker when you buy one pack of Dad's favorite cocktail capsules. Dad will publicly love that you saved $50 on the countertop machine that crafts premium cocktails on demand. And he'll secretly love that you splurged on him for Father's Day with the gift of a Bartesian. Because the only thing that lets Dad know he's the world's number one dad better than a world's number one dad coffee mug is an artisan cocktail in his hand. Make Dad's Father's Day and Father's Day cocktails with all natural juices and bitters without making any mess at all. Visit bartesian.com/father to get $50 off the best premium cocktail maker for Dad at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
The Breakfast Club.
It's about time.
What's going on?
Yo. Rumor report. Rumor report. This is the Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, Benny the Butcher, he suffered a gunshot wound. They said it was in his leg. And according to the Houston Police Department, they told TMZ that he was in town Saturday visiting a local Walmart. While he was with his friends in the car in the lot, they said a car with five guys pulled up next to them, took out some guns, and demanded their chains. Apparently, they were moving too slowly, and the cops say that one of the guys fired a round into Benny the Butcher's leg, and that's what caused them to flee after that. So eventually, they did pull over and call the police. He was taken to the hospital for treatment.
Wow. Salute to the good brother, Benny the Butcher. Sending positive energy, love, and light to that brother. Everybody needs to keep their head on a swivel. It's been a rough year. People are hungry. It's the holiday season. People are starving. And a lot of brothers out here looking like meal tickets. If you got it and they don't, they will come take it from you. Simple as that. So pay attention. And most importantly, stay out the way.
All right. And Boosie Badass got shot also over the weekend in the leg in Dallas. Mm. And yes, so according to law enforcement sources, they said that he was shot after he was in a Sprinter van near a strip mall. And then he stopped by another venue. He was paying his respects to Mo3, the rapper that was signed to him that was recently killed. And they said at some point somebody opened fire on the vehicles and one of the bullets struck him in the leg. And the shooters are also at large there. So Boosie did end up going to the hospital and he was treated for a gunshot wound below the knee and that he is doing okay.
You know, like I said, man, salute to Boosie, salute to that brother. Keep your head on the swivel, pay attention, and stay out the way. And you also got to remember, too, who you are sometimes. Like, you can't do what everybody else does. That's why you don't have what everybody else has. You know what I'm saying? You have different access for different reasons.
Sometimes. But you know what? In both cases, there was a bunch of people with them, though, so it seems like they might have had security with them. Because, I mean, they're going, they're traveling to different states, they're doing shows, so I'm sure they probably had security.
I mean, yeah, people can get the drop on security, too. Yeah, I don't know if they have security, but people can get the drop on security for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, again, our prayers to them. Now, Jeremiah has been hospitalized. He's in ICU, and he has coronavirus. So, according to now, I've heard sources saying that he was on a ventilator, that things aren't going well, but 50 Cent posted, pray for my boy Jeremiah. He's not doing good. This COVID ish is real. He's in ICU in Chicago. I saw a Hitmaker also asking for prayers, and he said that Jeremiah's mother actually asked him to post that. Mm-hmm. Chance the Rapper said, please, if you can take a second to pray for my friend Jeremiah. He's like a brother to me, and he's ill right now. I believe in the healing power of Jesus. So if you can for me, please, please say a prayer over him. So prayers for Jeremiah as well. Absolutely. Yes.
Absolutely. 100%.
Now, gospel artist Fred Hammond has also shared that he tested positive for COVID-19, and he did share this update.
Monday, that I went to go get tested, and it was the same day test. I just wanted to come on and say that this is day 5 of my quarantine because the test came back Monday positive. I think the rough weekend was last weekend, but my doctor's like she doesn't know what side of it I'm on. So she's keeping me very monitored, and I have a doctor that's with me pretty much throughout the day, and I have 3 doctors on speed dial.
Lord have mercy.
He also
posted,
a mask is not a political statement. Blessings, family. So hopefully he's going to be okay and pull through. Now, Larsa Pippen has also revealed that she tested positive for coronavirus, and she said, I've never felt pain like this. She posted a picture that showed her legs. She said, I've been battling COVID for a week, and she said, pray, then let it go. Don't try and manipulate or force the outcome. Just trust God to open the right doors at the right time. Amen. Oh, my goodness, well, I mean, right? It's like everybody...
It's so scary because you don't know how it affects your body. You know, some people get it and it's no problem. They don't even know they have it. They keep it moving. And then some people get it and it's the worst. It's just scary because you don't know how it affects your body. You don't know how to run through your system, you know?
Question.
Now, Erica Badu has tested positive in the left nostril and negative in the right.
Now, that didn't make no damn sense. I'm trying to figure this one out. Like, how do you test positive in one nostril and negative in the other nostril? And if that happens, what do? Do you quarantine for 7 days instead of 14?
Yo, shut up, man. Shut up.
Stay 3 feet away from people instead of 6? Like, what do you do? Like, what happens when it's half and half?
Yeah, that's a weird thing. I mean, I guess they're not 100% effective, so I would assume you got to take it again. But that's weird. Yeah, all right, that is your rumor report.
Is there anything that happened good in the world this weekend? I mean, Jesus Christ, Megan Thee Stallion got an album coming out called Good News. Is there any? I mean, you mean to tell me nothing good happened to somebody this weekend?
Maybe the next rumors.
There'll be some good news, yeah.
Jesus Christ, 2 shootings, 3 positive COVID tests. My God.
All right, well, we got rumors. We got front page news coming up. What are we talking about on front page news?
Yes, Donald Trump, he did say that he lost the election, but he also said it was rigged, and he also said he's not conceding. So we'll tell you some more news about that.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Hey, what up, y'all? It's DJ Envy. And if you're looking for auto insurance customized just for you, you need the General Insurance. They have excellent customer service, and they have been in business for over 55 years. Call 800-GENERAL or visit thegeneral.com today. Some restrictions apply. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Now, let's start with some NFL football. The Browns beat the Texans 10-7. The Lions beat the Washington football team. Packers beat the Jaguars. My Giants beat the Eagles. Buccaneers beat the Panthers. Raiders beat the Broncos. Dolphins beat the Chargers. The Cardinals beat the Bills. The Rams beat the Seahawks. New Orleans, they beat San Francisco 49ers. The Steelers beat the Bengals. And the Patriots beat the Ravens. Now, Monday Night Football. The Vikings take on the Chicago Bears. Now, what else we got, Yee?
All right, well, let's talk some more about Obama's 60 Minutes interview. Now, he talks about how Michelle Obama was so supportive to him and how grateful he is. Listen to this.
It's only after you emerge from an all-consuming job that you realize that everything you hold dear is thanks to the one you love.
I think I actually realized that even while I was in the job. The fact that she put up with it and forgave me was an act of grace that I am grateful for, and I'm not sure I deserved it.
Man, drop on the clues bombs with Barack Obama. Get you a black woman, damn it. Change your whole life. The best foundation to stand on is a sister.
Now, his memoir, Promised Land, actually comes out tomorrow. So that's why he's been doing all these interviews and talking about his relationship and Michelle Obama being so supportive. And then he also, in this interview, talked about not attacking Trump.
At the end of the day, I consistently tried to treat my political opposition in the ways I'd want to be treated. Every president brings a certain temperament to office. I think part of the reason I got elected was because I sent a message that fundamentally I believe the American people are good and decent, and that politics doesn't have to be some
cage match in which everybody is going at each other's throats and that we can agree without being disagreeable.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I didn't like that, though, because the problem with Trump is they acted like what he was doing was so normal for 4 years. Therefore, a lot of people didn't understand the severity of what he was doing in the White House. And if it wasn't for COVID, you know, treating him like he was just a normal president, it would have gotten him reelected. And it's not an attack if it's the truth. Telling the truth about somebody is not attacking them.
Mm-hmm. What a difference for who's our president right now, Donald Trump. They had the Million MAGA March over the weekend with these Trump supporters. And there was a lot going down. In addition to that, Donald Trump said, we won't let a rigged election steal our country. And he's been on social media talking about he still feels like he didn't lose. He said he only won in the eyes of the fake news media. I concede nothing. We have a long way to go. This was a rigged election. He won because the election was rigged. No vote watchers or observers allowed. Vote tabulated by a radical left privately owned company, Dominion, with a bad reputation and bum equipment that couldn't even qualify for Texas, which I won by a lot. The fake and silent media and more. So he's still claiming without evidence that he won. And even though these are all debunked theories and baseless conspiracy theories and false statements that he's putting out on social media, and Giuliani actually did an interview and said that Donald Trump is not going to concede.
Is the president right now in this tweet conceding this election?
No, far from it. What he's saying is more, I guess you'd call it sarcastic. Obviously, he's contesting it vigorously in the courts.
Let's be honest. We don't want him to concede. Okay, we all know we want to see the military go in there and drag Trump out by his toupee, kicking and screaming. A peaceful transition of power would be normal. We don't want it to end normally. Come on, and we know it's not going to end normal. It's Trump. We don't want him to concede. Come on, we want the action. Come on, be honest, guys.
No, we want him to concede. We want him to get the hell out.
No, you don't. You want the action. You want the show. You want the show. No, you don't. You want the show so you can have content for your rumor report and front page news and for your headlines. We want the show. Stop it.
They're not going to throw him out on his ass, though. If they threw him out on his ass, it'd be different.
I think there's enough going on.
If they jazzy,
we don't need this.
We don't know how it's going to happen, but I know it'll be entertaining. I know that much.
All right, well, that is your front page news.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, Ro Khanna will be joining us.
Ro Khanna, he is in the U.S. House of Representatives. They actually talk about him possibly replacing Senator Harris in the Senate, but he's real big into tech, and he wants to get black people into the tech world, so we'll discuss with him.
All right, we'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest on the line.
Yes, indeed.
Congressman Ro Khanna. Welcome.
Thank you. Big fan of the show. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Ro. You know, I'm glad that you're here, man, because, you know, you've spoken to me about this proposal for wealth generation and tech jobs for young black Americans. And you sent it to, I believe you sent it to VP Biden and Kamala Harris, but explain to the people what that is.
Well, it's very simple. Right now, the black community is being left out of the main wealth generation. I mean, I represent Silicon Valley. Less than 3% of venture capital goes to black or Latino entrepreneurs. They're less than 10% at Apple, Google, Facebook of the employees or executives. If you think about it, the black community was not fully part of the Industrial Revolution. And now you have a digital revolution, which is driving most of the stock market, 90% of the gains. And you don't see black folks getting the IPOs. You don't see them at the executive tables. You don't see them generating wealth. So my view is you want to deal with the racial wealth gap. We've got to have more funding for black entrepreneurs. We've got to actually create boot camps. We've actually got to get at least a million black young men and women in the digital economy.
How do we do that?
Let's create actual boot camps at HBCUs in partnership with the private sector to get folks the skills and jobs. It's not enough for an Apple or Google or something to write a check to the United Negro Scholarship Fund and think their job is done. You know, there are only a third of computer science graduates or people with skills are actually getting jobs. They have to actually commit to hiring these people, not just giving some skills. And what often happens is the HBCUs or other schools, they don't have the access to get interviews. So they may be doing computer science stuff, but then they're not doing the whiteboard interviews and they're getting blocked out. So we had a partnership at Claflin with Zoom, where Zoom committed to not just funding the training, practical skills, but actually hiring folks afterwards. And I think we have to create these kind of boot camps that Opportunity Hub and others are doing across the country.
Changing the curriculum. Changing the curriculum. We have to change the curriculum.
Claflin in South Carolina?
Claflin, South Carolina. Wow. Yeah, you know. Yeah, no, Claflin, Zoom. So, you know, what was happening is these HBCUs, they'd give all the academic stuff, and then people would go to interview, and there are all these whiteboard interviews and all these things, and they'd never been exposed to it, so they wouldn't get the job.
Right. Well,
and that's, you know, that's not going to create actual opportunity. So first, get people the actual practical skills and certification that's going to lead to a job. So the HBCUs should partner with the private institutions, and these private companies have to commit to hiring. Second, I would say at least any big company that wants to have a big federal contract, Amazon, others, have them have a 10% Black and Latino workforce.
That's right.
You know, you see that happen. Look at how quickly they'll actually hire people. Right now, they're not. You know, there's no incentive for them to do it. It's just lip service.
I think it should be more than 10%. It should reflect the population of Black people in this country. So 13-14% is what I say.
Great. Yeah, no, I mean, let's do something. I mean, 13-14% makes a lot of sense. And, you know, Jesse Jackson, who I admire, but he's been going to Silicon Valley for the past 15 years. And he gives the same speech about diversity, and they put out some statistics, but it's not improving. I mean, we've got to have some real policy, and it can't just be left to the intentions of people in the Valley.
And what about raising funds? Because you did talk about venture capitalists and how Black people are getting left out when it comes to that. So what can be done about that?
I think two things. First, let's look at the statistics. Less than 3%, $130 billion venture capital industry, less than 3% is going to Black or Latino entrepreneurs. So probably less than 1% to Black entrepreneurs. And when it comes to women, it's
right,
less
even
than
less.
You know, it's less than 0.03%. I think we need to do two things. One, we need actual targeted federal government matching funds where we're putting funds into Black-owned VCs. There are about 20 prominent Black-owned VCs. You know, if you give money to people with Black-owned funds, they're more likely to fund Black entrepreneurs. That's just the reality of it. But the Black funds, VC funds, are, you know, a very small fraction of the $130 billion. So have federal funds to match that. And secondly, incentivize the Harvards, the public pension funds, to say, look, you get a different capital gains tax rate if you're going to invest that money with a Black-owned fund, so that you're incentivizing these huge people who control a lot of the capital to put the money in Black funds. I fundamentally believe if you give money to Black-run funds, you're going to get more Black entrepreneurs funded. I don't think you can rely on other funds finding the entrepreneurs or opportunities.
Yeah, you got to be intentional about it. You know what I mean? So you got to give the money to people who are going to be intentional about empowering other Black people. But I got a question, Ro. What's keeping Black people out of the digital revolution? We're the consumers of all this tech, all these social media apps, but not the creators. Why?
I mean, that's brilliantly put. I mean, simply, I mean, look, there, you know, Black Twitter. I mean, the Black people get a lot of the cultural stuff started on these tech companies. They wouldn't have grown. Twitter wouldn't have grown if it wasn't
And right now, Clubhouse.
Clubhouse and on Amazon, obviously huge purchases on Facebook. And so the Black community is exactly as you put it. They're the consumers. But more than the consumers, they're the cultural movers. They're getting this stuff popular. I mean, you look at the videos on entertainment and things on Instagram or TikTok. It's often Black entertainers, Black influencers, and yet they're not getting the wealth, the actual wealth creation, and they're not being able to shape these platforms. People keep talking about the racial wealth gap, 10-1. It has increased in the last 20 years, not decreased, increased. And one of the big parts of the reasons for that, in my view, is that all the wealth creation is largely being driven in the digital economy. So why are they excluded? Have they been excluded? I think partly it's that there's network effects. You know, it's not that they don't want to go into computer science. Actually, young Black kids have a greater desire. There's a study showing they have a greater desire to study computer science than white kids. They're more interested in it. So, and a third of Black graduates in computer science aren't getting jobs in tech, even though there's 700,000 open tech jobs. So part of it is the network effect. I mean, how many of these tech companies are actually recruiting where the talent is? Partly is that they're not getting the skilled boot camp training, which teaches folks not just about the algorithms and how to code, but actually the way that interviews are conducted to get jobs. And then partly is the exclusion of capital. But if this continues, the racial wealth gap 20 years from now will be worse. And what I say is, look, the biggest issue, obviously, and you know, I know, Charlamagne, you've been very eloquent on it, is with criminal justice reform and police violence. And that's obviously, people can't be getting shot. But in Silicon Valley, it's easy to sit there and say, you know, the problem is the cop in Minnesota or the cop in Wisconsin, and support Black Lives Matter sort of theoretically and say, okay, we're going to go out and march for greater racial justice against police violence. But what are you doing? Well, Black Lives Matter is not just about making sure Black kids don't get shot in the streets. It's about making sure they have a shot at the American dream, at wealth creation. That's a far harder structural reform. And I think it would, we can't let off companies and area I represent saying, okay, support Black Lives marches without talking about equity and wealth generation.
All right, we got more with Ro Khanna when we come back.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Father's Day is coming, a day we celebrate the guy who's always there for us, to crack a dad joke. Well, you know what's not a dad joke? Getting $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker with the purchase of his favorite cocktail capsule pack. $50 off. No dad joke. See, this is a dad joke. I lost my glasses today, and guess who I bumped into? Everyone. But the Bartesian Cocktail Maker, it's no joke. Each cocktail capsule contains real fruit juices and all-natural bitters, so dad can make over 60 premium cocktails he loves. Sidecars, old fashions, gimlets, all with the push of a button. So, for the dad who loves a cocktail with friends and a good joke from time to time, get the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. $50 off now until Father's Day. Visit bartesian.com/father to get 50 off the best premium cocktail maker for dad at the best price for you. Bartesian. Premium cocktails on demand.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Ro Khanna. He's the member of the U.S. House of Representatives from California's 17th District.
It always seems crazy when we talk about minorities and generational wealth, and then you look at big companies and all the breaks that they get, whether it's the Amazons or the Netflix or, you know, all these other companies. And it just seems weird to me that you give all these companies huge breaks. And then when you talk about generational wealth, you don't allow minorities the chance to catch up.
You're absolutely right. I think one of the other reforms should be that there should be people on the boards of these companies. They should have some sense of diversity requirements for the boards and in these companies. And people say, well, why? How does that help someone who's middle class or working class to get representation on the boards? I think that's a very privileged perspective. I mean, it's not just that Black people should be having working class jobs and focused on the minimum wage, though important. we've got to give them access to the wealth generation, and they're going to reinvest that in their own community. So partly it's diversifying the boards. It's having incentives. As you pointed out, these companies are getting a lot of breaks from the government. They have an obligation to be part of the solution in dealing with the racial wealth gap and the exclusion of Black talent.
You know, why do you think there's never been an attempt, Ro, to address the racial wealth gap in America in a meaningful way? Or should I say fix the racial wealth gap in America in a meaningful way?
I think that we're not focused enough on the ambitions of young African-Americans, African-American families. I think we're so focused on the immediate social problems, which are acute. Let's make sure everyone gets healthcare. Let's make sure everyone, you know, doesn't get shot in the streets. Let's make sure that people have minimum wage. But that's not America. That's not enough. When I go to Claflin, when I talk to these young folks, they have the same dreams as kids in my district. They want to be entrepreneurs. They want to be business leaders. They want to create wealth. They have, and when do we speak to that aspiration? You're not going to solve the racial wealth gap by just giving everyone healthcare and minimum wage and Social Security, as important as that is. You've got to give people access to wealth generation. And I just don't think we've been asking that question properly, is where is the wealth being generated and how are we going to give an entire community access? You know, John Lewis, one of the honors I had is serving with him, and he used to say to me, "Well, technology rights are the new civil rights. Make sure you get talk about people having access to technology."
Tom, you got to talk to me about this Claflin connection, because I'm from South Carolina. My father-in-law is a Claflin alumni. Like, well, why Claflin?
So Clyburn, Jim Clyburn, who represents that area,
my guy.
I had gone down to Claflin and we met with some of the students. He had said, "Look, Ro, come." He knew I was keen on getting technology companies to expand. And so he said, "Come down." And we went down to Claflin, and these entrepreneurs, these 20, 22-year-old kids, I mean, unbelievable hunger, ambition, vision, but they didn't have access to the networks. They don't have access to the venture capital. They don't have access to people taking a shot on them. And I was so impressed with Claflin. So I went back and I talked to Zoom, and they were looking to do something. And I said, "Why don't you partner with Claflin?" Now it's a start. I mean, they're putting a couple million bucks. They're actually creating the training programs. They're hiring folks. But what we have to do is ask that of all of the companies, mm-hmm. and to do it broadly with the HBCUs. And don't let them get off just writing a check. I mean, that's the, you know, what happens is these companies will say, "Okay, we'll write a check to the United Negro Scholarship Fund." And then what happens with that money? Maybe some kids get a scholarship. That's great. But they're not getting hired back into tech. They're not becoming entrepreneurs. They're not becoming VCs. They're not getting funded. And, I know it's, initially I thought, okay, maybe this is just my perspective from Silicon Valley. But when I go and talk to young kids, this is what they want.
Right.
They want to make wealth. They want to get successful. They have pride. They have as big dreams as anyone. And I think we sell the dream short when we just talk about the problems and we're not talking about how we're going to give them access to opportunity. Now, Donald Trump, I think, came up with a total, you know, sham, in my view, a superficial thing, platinum plan, and, you know, the $500 billion, he wasn't even going to fund it. He was claiming it was going to come through.
It was going to circulate, somehow people were going to make money.
But that's, it was rhetorically appealing because he was talking about people making money.
That's
and
right.
People having access to it. Now, what we've got to do is say, okay, we're actually going to have the real solutions to how that's going to work. But I think we've got to acknowledge that we've got a real problem in this country. And, you know, look, I'm on the reparations bill and I'm for understanding the historical injustices. But unless we solve the access to future wealth generation, nothing government can do is going to reduce the racial wealth gap if we can't give people the opportunity to create wealth.
By the way, they Absolutely. Can figure it out the same way they figured out how to systemically keep us from getting wealth. They can figure out how to get systemically create avenues for us to make wealth. You got the marijuana industry, you got the tech industry.
Look, we've got so much. It's not like the talent is extraordinary. And how do we know this? Because any cultural trend in this country, a lot of it that takes off is partly starts with the Black community. The creativity is extraordinary. The ambition is extraordinary. The desire is there. More Black kids want to go into tech than white kids, according to some of the studies. So it's in the interest of these companies to do it. This report show more diverse companies are more profitable. They better understand consumer needs. So what is stopping it? It is it may not be blatant bigotry, but it's the soft bigotry of your own networks. People don't, you know, they don't know where all the talent is. They don't want to go beyond the people they met at school. They're not willing to make that intentional effort to be inclusive. And I think that that's really the problem. It's going to kill us with China. They've got 1 billion people. I mean, how are we going to compete if we're writing off whole parts of our population from AI, from quantum computing, from all of the new fields? And then, you know, think about if all the digital platforms are being created by some people and the Black community is not part of that, how are they going to make sure that their voices are heard and in the design of these platforms?
All right, we got more with Ro Khanna. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking in with Ro Khanna. Charlamagne?
Now, you know, I saw what you said, $131 billion in annual venture capital, I guess, comes into the tech world, but less than 1% goes to Black firms?
Yeah, less than 1% goes to Black entrepreneurs and even less to Black firms. I mean, it should be a national scandal that the exclusion of that. Think about where all the money is being made. In the S&P 500, 90% of the gain has been the tech over the last 5 years. Where are the billionaires, millionaires coming from? Most of them, a lot of them, Dropbox, Airbnb, Facebook, Google, Apple. How many folks do you know who are Black who've said, okay, I had stock options or my company was funded and we IPO'd? Mm. How many do you know who were acquired? Mm. It is appalling, the level of funding. And the talent is there. There's just no intentionality.
Has anyone been able to raise the kind of money Rodney Sampson raised in 2000 for their Black tech company? Or was he the last one?
He's one of 20. I think Rodney's great. I mean, it was an opportunity, but I think his fund right now is about 5 to 10 million. I mean, there need to be a couple more zeros at the end of that. And, you know, what Rodney's doing with Opportunity Hub is amazing work. And Morehouse College, he's set up a boot camp, basically, where you will get the credentials to have a tech job afterwards. But we've got to give him the money to scale it. I mean, $15 billion properly spent, scaled with boot camps and at HBCUs could get 1 million young Black men and women into these digital opportunities. And then we've got to give them the funding to go out and build wealth. You know, there's a great initiative that Tyrants is doing in Oklahoma. Of course, people know about Tulsa and the Wall Street effort and how that was destroyed by white people who were jealous of basically Black success. They destroyed it twice. I mean, they first had the riots and then they built the highway through Tulsa to destroy it the second time. And so they're trying to build a tech presence there to try to replicate that. But these kind of efforts are going on all over the country. The problem is that there's no funding. There's no effort. And people, you have such a big platform, obviously, on The Breakfast Club, but I just think saying that this has to be as much of a priority as the other issues facing the community long term, because otherwise there'll never be. I don't think you can have equality without equality of wealth generation. I don't think you can have equality.
Yeah, the civil, no disrespect, but civil rights, no. That's not going to get us where we need to be. And I think that's what Martin Luther King Jr. was pivoting to, like economic empowerment. You know what I mean? Us being financially stable. The civil rights part, they can code racism and hide racism and all types of things. But as long as we got that economic part down pat, I think we'll be all right.
And the economic, yes. I mean, I agree. I mean, obviously, you know this better, but I think the economic empowerment, it can't just be, okay, healthcare and a 15 buck minimum wage and a good union job. Yes, all of those are important. But is that the country we want to live in, that Silicon Valley gets all the millionaires and billionaires and Black folks are on working class and middle class jobs and no wealth creation? Like that is not a true equality, especially with the talent and a lot of the consumerism is being driven by the Black community. Their money is going to these companies. Their money, their talent is driving these companies' success. And so I think that the fixes are easy. I mean, I'm hopeful Vice President Biden and Kamala Harris, if they're serious about it, Divine Nine endorsed the approach. So you've got a lot of the fraternities, historical fraternities and sororities behind it. And if you get someone like Rodney, who's really spent a lot of time in this, and a few others to spearhead it, and you give him the resources and you convene the HBCU presidents and you look beyond that, I think you could fix this issue. I mean, and we need to fix it.
Why are you so passionate about it, Ro? Like, why are you so passionate about Black people acquiring wealth through tech?
Well, two reasons. One, my own story. So, my grandfather spent 4 years in jail with Gandhi in the 1940s. And I don't know if you know James Lawson, but he's a great leader. He's actually in L.A. Lawson actually had gone to India and was influenced by Gandhi's movement. And he went and influenced Dr. King and John Lewis on some of the nonviolent struggles. And if it weren't for the Black Civil Rights Movement, my parents wouldn't have been allowed in this country. In 1965, Immigration Reform Act. Before that, you didn't have Indians or Chinese basically allowed to come to America. And we forget this. And now you got a lot of Indian Americans who have succeeded in technology. They wouldn't have been allowed in America, let alone have those chances. Look at why there's so many Indians at HBCUs, because the other universities didn't hire them. So not only did they come in. So I just think I have an obligation or some responsibility, given this historical circle, to do something to make greater access to wealth generation. It's what I know. It's where I represent. So, I mean, there are a lot of other issues, but this is an issue that where I can make a difference and give back to a community that made my story possible.
Dope.
Well, Ro Khanna, we appreciate you for checking in and joining us this morning. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so give us more information, Ro. Like, tell us how to reach you or how to for people to get in, to find out some of this information that you're talking about. Like, just how do we get people involved?
That'd be great. And I'd love people's ideas also, if they have ideas of how to partner with tech companies and what we should be doing. So they can email me at ro@rokhanna.com. I check that, ro@rokhanna.com. Obviously, they can direct message me if you follow me on Twitter or Facebook, or you can reach out to our office. But if you email me with ideas on this, this is a passion of mine and something I want to really work on next 10 years.
All right. Well, thank you so much, brother. We appreciate you for checking
thank
in.
You, thank you for
it's
having me.
Please, King.
Thank you.
It's time. She's spilling the tea.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
All right. So Hitmaker was on Drink Champs, and he was very chatty. Some things he said I thought was kind of whack to do, but other things he talked about was... He feels like the same people that set up Pop Smoke, the same woman for that home invasion, is the same people that set him up. If you remember, his house got broken into. Here's what he said.
She was sharing a location. It was three guys with guns and damn, like that, trying to come and kick in my crib. And the crazy thing is, like, when it was happening, instead of her being like a girl in the midst of a home invasion, like right. I was, like she was fighting me.
As people trying to get your crib?
Yeah, bro. It was I'm still like, I'm still dealing with PTSD from that. Here go the craziest. So, I casually like, I'm cool with Pop Smoke girlfriend or whatever. She had hit me like, yo, like.
Tell me it's the same dude.
Yeah, man, dog. Yeah, bro.
That's crazy.
Yet another reason to settle down with one woman and mind your damn business. Out here with all these randoms, they tell you don't speak to strangers, don't sleep with them either.
All right, another thing that he talked about was Shaquille O'Neal bailing him out of jail.
At the video, and we shooting the first shot of the day, me and Ray J in a Lamborghini, we smoking a blunt. I threw the roach out the car. The police that were keeping us safe... picked up the roach out the Lamborghini, smelt it, locked my ass up immediately before the first shot of the day. I'm Young Berg, so now they want me to rap for them and shit while I'm in jail.
Yeah, don't fall for that.
Next thing I know, Shaquille O'Neal bailed me out of prison.
I got to listen to that full Drink Champs episode. Why did Shaq bail him out? What's the relationship between Shaq and
Berg?
Hitmaker.
Mm-hmm. He's a sheriff in L.A., he said, or something like that. So
did they just get the call? Every time somebody gets locked up, they call Shaq? How did Shaq even know?
I got to listen to the whole Drink Champs episode. I haven't listened to that one yet.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, some of those things he said, I was like, he's talking about a bunch of different women. I thought it wasn't cool to do that. But
you can go check out Drink Champs on the Black Effect iHeartRadio app. Right now, and available everywhere you buy podcasts.
Yeah, shout out to Norris.
Listen to podcasts.
All right. Now, when Jeezy was on The Breakfast Club, he was talking about this versus battle that he was supposed to do against T.I., and things have since changed. Let me give you guys a refresher.
When I even got the call about verse, I got a call from Swiss. I was like, yo, Swiss, I really, you know, if I do it, there's only one person I do it with. And he was like, who? I was like, Gucci. Reach out to him. Let me know what's up. Swiss hit back, say he respectfully declined. Cool, done.
That would have broke the goddamn internet. Jeezy versus Gucci.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, I mean, we could have done it for the culture.
All right, well, it looks like that is happening now. So that's going to be happening on Thursday.
Is that safe? Can they be in the same room and everything be all right?
Clearly they've had some type of communication, right? Clearly they've had some kind of communication before. And if you read Gucci Mane's book, it's not the first time that, you know, him and Jeezy have chopped it up, you know? So yeah, but I don't know.
But, you know, I seen Gucci's post. He said, what did he say? Ice Cream Man versus the Snow Cone.
Yeah, but Jeezy actually called Gucci a snow cone first, if you know your Gucci-Jeezy beef history on Stay Scrapped.
And then Jeezy called him Little Guwap and said, don't send your clone.
Yeah, so.
Can we get Gucci?
I know who you got, Yee. Who you got, Charlamagne?
I got Jeezy, but it's a sneaky matchup because, see, the difference between Jeezy and Gucci, Jeezy has complete albums, bodies of work that are better than Gucci's. Jeezy has two classics, TM 101 and The Recession, two really great albums, The Inspiration and TM 103. But Gucci collectively has dropped 108 mixtapes and albums combined. So he's got 20. He's got 20. Yeah,
they both got 20.
Sure.
Who wins in that battle? I think Jeezy got it.
I just said Jeezy.
Okay.
I think Jeezy wins. But, I mean, listen, Gucci got a hell of a fan base, bro. A hell of a fan base.
And giggles. Yeah, who you got?
Jeezy.
Okay.
For sure. All right, and WAC 100 is plotting for a 50 Cent in a game versus battle. So we'll see what happens with that. You know, they did shake hands, and they were in the same club together a couple of times, so maybe that could happen.
And we playing a classic Gucci instrumental in the background right now. This freaky girl. That's what I'm saying. Gucci's not. It'll be a very competitive versus.
Either that or Mulatto's record. It could be Mulatto's record too.
Oh yeah, I forgot Mulatto's record. Sampled that.
Yes, Big Lotto.
Big Lotto.
Can we get Gucci and Jeezy to sit down on the Recessions podcast hosted by Jeezy on the Black Effect Podcast Network? Though
that'd be amazing.
That's what inquiring minds want to know. Can that happen?
All right, T.I. already put his bid in for that podcast.
Why would Jeezy do that? Why would Jeezy do that on T.I.'s podcast when he has his own?
Because I guess T.I. was nice enough to step to the side and let him do the battle, even though he was supposed to be doing it.
Well, the culture made him step to the side. they were going to push him to the side for this one.
Actually, I heard P from QC negotiated that. But no, yeah, you're right, too. The culture, too, because Jeezy was on Breakfast Club last week and Jeezy put it out there from the clip that we just played. So I'm sure that changed the tide a little bit.
Absolutely.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
I can't wait to see it. All right. Now, who are you giving that donkey to, Charlamagne?
You know, we need Little Pump to come to the front of the congregation. We like to have a word with him, but it's more of a teachable moment for everybody when it comes to your words.
Now, Little Pump or Little Pimp, which one?
One of them.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
The Freshest Family Reunion is coming to HBO Max. Celebrating 30 years since The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air's debut, join Will Smith and the whole cast for a walk down memory lane. The Banks family is back. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air reunion streaming Thursday only on HBO Max.
Make sure you tell them to watch out for Florida, man.
The craziest people in America come from the Bronx and all of Florida. Yes, you are a donkey.
A Florida man attacked an ATM for a very strange reason. It gave him too much money. Florida man is arrested after deputies say he rigged the door to his home in an attempt to electrocute his pregnant wife. Police arrested an Orlando man for attacking a flamingo.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Donkey of the day with Charlamagne the guy. I don't know why y'all keep letting him get y'all like this.
Yes, Donkey of the Day for Monday, November 16th goes to a rapper named Little Pump, or as the current lame duck celebrity in chief calls him, Little Pimp. Now, Little Pump is from Florida. I didn't even know he was from Florida, but what did your Uncle Charla always say about Florida? Come on, say it with me. The craziest people in America come from the Bronx and all of Florida. Now, folks saw Little Pimp out there campaigning for the guy who lost the election, Donald J. Trump. Can we hear from that rally? Can we hear that clip?
One of the big superstars of the world, Little Pimp.
How's it going? Do you want to come up and say something?
You want to?
Come on. Little Pump, come on. Does everyone know who he is? Do you know how big he is? Come on up here.
I come here to say, Mr. President, I appreciate everything you've done for our country. You brought the troops home, and you're doing the right thing. MAGA 2020. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. And do not vote for Sleepy Joe at all.
2020 sounds like too long of a year. Personally, I didn't care that he did that. You know, the reason I didn't care is because I have no problem with people thinking freely about their politics. Even if I don't agree with their politics, the guy wanted to vote for Trump. Who cares? Maybe the red MAGA hat matches his car. I'm sure he has a bright red pair of sneakers that matches the hat. Hey, maybe he's blood in the red MAGA hat with the red of the Republicans makes him feel comfortable enough to bang that set. I don't know. I didn't care. But what I do acknowledge is cap. And that's what happens a lot on social media. Just cap. So much cap on the app. And there's people who literally get on there with the sole intention of making you care about something that you should not be caring about. But the only reason you would care is it's impossible to not get swept away by the tide of groupthink. So it can be a person that you have never thought of in your life, like a Little Pimp. Okay, you can't name a song, don't know anything about him. You probably never even heard of him until you saw a bunch of people angry at him on social media for supporting Trump and then clowning him because Trump didn't even know his name when he introduced him at the rally during the campaign. But since you saw everybody else attacking him, you wasted time and energy attacking him too. Do you even care today that he supported Trump? Of course you don't. Why would you? Okay, Trump lost. Therefore, Pump's endorsement didn't matter. And you know why Pump's endorsement didn't matter even more? Because none of this matters if you don't vote. And ladies and gentlemen, Little Pump did not vote. Oh, I loved reading this article on Complex over the weekend. Oh, let me read a little bit of it. Despite going all in on his support for Donald Trump, SoundCloud rapper Little Pump didn't bother to vote in the 2020 presidential election. In fact, according to the Smoking Gun, Pump didn't even register to vote. End quote. Little Pump's real name is Gazzy Garcia. He's 20 years old, and he doesn't show up as a registered voter on Florida state voter rolls. Okay, these findings were also confirmed by a supervisor for the Miami-Dade County Elections Department. Let me explain something to y'all, because this is bigger than Pump voting for Trump. Okay, it's about Pump not practicing what he's preaching. See, I can't even call Pump a Trump supporter because you are what you do, not what you'll say you will do. And this, my friends, is words are getting cheaper and cheaper. This is exactly why words are getting cheaper and cheaper, okay? We live in a word economy. All we do is see words all day nonstop, all right? Nonstop commentary on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, nonstop commentary on podcasts, nonstop commentary on radio, nonstop commentary on TV. We put so much value into the words of people, and never in the history of life has talk been cheaper. I'm telling you, every single solitary saying you ever heard about words being meaningless, this is why, okay? Words are nothing, actions are everything. Don't tell me, show me, and I don't wanna hear it, all right? Doesn't matter if Little Pump didn't vote for Trump. He told people he was voting for him, so he may have influenced people to vote for him. Yeah. Okay, so it's just as dangerous. I hear what y'all saying, but if every vote counts and he didn't vote, then he's part of the problem, all right? Trump lost because he didn't get enough votes, even though he had the second biggest voter turnout in election history. His opponent, Senator Kamala Harris, and Joe Biden had the biggest turnout in election history. But the moral of the story is, why do we as people continue to put so much stock in what people say they are going to do when the reality is they aren't really doing a damn thing? Okay, your words mean nothing when your actions are the complete opposite. This is just a teachable moment for all of us. See, I'm the type of person, I can't say what I'm going to do and not do it. I can't tell you what I've done if I've never did it. I'm not going to tell you to do it if I never did it, only because to me, words matter, because I'm expecting me from other people, and my therapist keeps telling me to stop doing that. Okay, look, I get it. When I was Pump's age, I was doing a lot of performing too. I was saying and doing a lot of things that I didn't really mean. I just wanted to get a reaction out of people. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was when I was at my fakest. Okay, you can't claim to be real when the words that are coming out of your mouth don't match your actions. Little Pump did all of this for absolutely nothing. Going hard in the paint and don't even have a real dog in the fight. What is the point?
Okay, what was it for? For clicks, for likes, for retweets? Now, why should we believe anything that comes out of his mouth ever again? When your words don't line up with your actions, people lose trust in you and everything that you stand for. So please, kids, listen to your Uncle Sharla when I tell you, make sure without a shadow of a doubt that your actions and behaviors live up to and reflect the words, ideas, promises, and commitments that come out of your mouth. Please give a little pump to Sweet Sounds of the Hamiltones.
You are the donkey of the day. Mm-hmm. You are the donkey of the day. Hee-haw.
That's right. A nice teachable moment. Make sure that your actions and behaviors live up to and reflect the words, ideas, promises, and commitments that come out of your mouth.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today. Now, when we come back, Isaac Hayes III will be joining us. You looking to invest in something? Keep it locked. This might be something that you want to invest in, and that's it's right. Not going to cost you an arm and a leg. All right?
If you haven't thought about getting into the tech world, pay attention.
All right. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. The Breakfast Club is back.
Yeah.
Back.
Yo,
back where I want to be.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building. I should say on the line right now, Isaac Hayes.
Yeah. Isaac is an unofficial elected official in Atlanta, Georgia. I don't know. He does a little bit of everything, but he's here this morning to talk about what's on his shirt, man. Fan base.
What's fan base?
Well, first of all, I made it to the Breakfast Club. This is an honor. Like, I'm really excited to be here. You guys are legends. Thanks for having me. Fanbase is a startup that I founded that allows anyone to monetize their content. Any and every person can monetize their content and make money off their content.
What you mean? Like, what you mean off their content?
So you can have followers and subscribers. So, you know, there's a lot of networks, social networks out here that allow people to monetize their content. Everybody knows about OnlyFans, Patreon, but Fanbase is a social network that allows anybody to monetize their content by having subscribers. You can also have followers. Mm-hmm. So you can have 10,000 followers and 1,000 subscribers, and it's on the same platform. So you're not isolated from content. And I'm providing content monetization to everybody. Like, everybody, we all make content. All you guys are content creators, and you guys have an opportunity to monetize your content and make money.
Isaac walked me through this the other day, and I thought it was dope because the concept you have, the vision you have to create black wealth from this for multiple people.
Yeah, absolutely. So what I'm doing is, shout out to Dawn Dixon, who's been on The Breakfast Club. She's like my mentor in this process, but they recommended me for a platform called Start Engine. And Start Engine is a platform that allows you to crowdfund money in the seed stage. And I'm going to tell you why that's important, because I'm taking advantage of a statute, some new legislation called the Jobs Act that allows the general public to raise funds for a startup. Now, you couldn't do this before. Mm-hmm. Obama and Biden passed the Jobs Act in 2012. So from 1933 to 2012, you had to be an accredited investor to invest in a seed stage company. That means you had to have a net worth of $1 million minus your primary residence, or make $200,000 a year for 2 years in a row. Now think about that. From 1933 to now, that's like 99% of Americans didn't have that money. So all this time, the rich have been getting richer. So if you wonder why you never got a call to invest in Uber or Instagram or TikTok or any of these platforms, because you were not rich enough. So now, because of the Jobs Act, I'm able to raise funds for my startup, and I'm raising $1 million on Start Engine. And right now we're at about $176,000 in about 11 days. So the raise is moving very well. We have a lot of great people on the platform that have invested. I think every investor that has contributed, I want everybody to invest, because this is an opportunity to create black wealth off the culture that we create, right? We give our dances to TikTok. We give our clapbacks and our humor to Twitter. We give our content and our energy to Instagram, but we don't own any of those platforms.
That's right.
So Fanbase is not a black platform, right? It's a platform for everybody, but I know, as you know, that black culture, we drive these social networks. We make everything popping. So to be able to invest in a seed stage and own part of a platform that you also give your culture to is incredible. And I want everybody to take advantage of that.
Now, when is Fan Base available? Can I download it now? Can I get it now?
You can get it on the Apple App Store. We're only on the Apple App Store right now. We're working on Android. Android is coming in first quarter.
Is it free?
2021. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely free. You can set it up, make a page. Matter of fact, I'll verify you both like that.
Okay.
You know, I know a guy that works there. and you can start posting content and monetizing your content. And I think that's very important because you can actually do long form too. So you can upload up to an hour's worth of content, HD, long form style. So now you're your own Netflix. So the quality of content you put on your fan base page, you monetize that. And so it's available now. The rev share is 50-50 mm-hmm. for anybody that wants to know. You make 50% of the revenue. And you can also like and love content. So when you love a piece of content, you give the content creator half a penny. You can like for free, but you can also tip content creators half a penny or unlock posts.
Gotcha.
So it's an enormous amount of freedom there to monetize your content. And there's a lot of wealth that's going to be generated from this platform.
Now, is it better? Do you make more money than you could on OnlyFans? Because I see everybody running to OnlyFans.
I mean, OnlyFans is really a great opportunity for sex workers and people that want to use the platform. I'm not knocking OnlyFans. The sex worker community is really aggravated because it was really their place, right? I got a DM this morning from a girl that was like, yo, I'm a sex worker on OnlyFans, and we're frustrated because ever since Bella Thorne came over there and messed it up for everybody, charging all that money, and everybody charged back their money, they messed it up for the sex workers. So that's a real niche market for them. And because of that, OnlyFans is not allowed on the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store because they're considered a porn site. So it's a web app. So it's not a social network. You know what I'm saying? So It's not a place that everybody's going to get on there. And, you know, I don't know if any of you are on OnlyFans, but you're not going to get on there and be like, hey, guy, let me sing you this girl or look at this and talk communicate.
I thought about using the platform because, see, I like the platform already because it's set up. So let's think about it like this, right? You know, I do real estate. So every week I have somebody on here talking about real estate where people could subscribe and go to it. You know what I mean? So, but I just felt like OnlyFans, like you said, felt like a little sex workers. I don't want people to come to my site and subscribe and think Envy was going to be in a man thong.
Let's see the show is
Absolutely. And it drives away like two things that it does keep away from the platform, which are brands, which are definitely going to be a part of fan base because every brand has a fan base. You know, Nike has a fan base, Louis Vuitton, all these brands have fan bases. And then a large group of women that don't really want to be associated with that site because of the sex works. And so you can go to fan base and make a page. You can monetize your photos, your videos, your long form content, and your live. So everything, you can make money off all of that. And we're not throttling down engagement. So everybody that's been complaining about the algorithms on these other apps, we're not throttling your engagement down. How many followers you got, Envy?
On all social media platforms?
Or just Instagram? Give me Instagram.
I think it's like 2 million. And I think on all platforms, it's about over 3 million.
So if you go live on Instagram, they don't send out 2 million notifications.
Not anymore.
I mean, you only get a fraction.
And Instagram is funny now. They changed the way they do it. They changed the way people view your videos and view your lives. They changed it now, which is crazy.
They throttle it down. This is what my experience. My engagement is throttled down, and I've heard people complain because they really want to have access. They really want you to pay to that audience because they're an ad-based platform. Where on Fanbase, if you go live, I want to send out 2 million notifications because the more eyeballs you have on me, the more people convert to subscribers. Therefore, the more money you make, the more profitable we are. And if people are making money, people are happy, and they're using the platform.
That's right.
All right, we got more with Isaac Hayes III. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Hey, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Isaac Hayes III. Charlamagne?
You know, one thing you showed me that I was like, wow, it's not large amounts of money these people invest into these social media sites. I mean, now they're, you know, 100 millionaires, sometimes billionaires, but they didn't invest a lot of money into these social media sites.
So let me give you an idea about seed stage investment, right? So I'll use Oren Michaels as an example. He invested $5,000 into Uber in the seed stage in 2010, and in 2019, it was worth $24 million.
Think about that, man.
That's an accredited investor. You never got that phone call. So the fact that I'm having a seed stage round in my startup to allow the Black community predominantly, you know, because this is exactly like me understanding that Black culture drives these networks. I want Black people to invest. I want every influencer out there, every artist to say, you know what, I'm gonna take a little bit of money, invest it in its fan base, and then I'm gonna bring my audience over there. So I'm gonna make money on the front end and the back end. It's a win-win. Because right. if you use the app, you're actually pumping up your valuation. You're actually making the company go higher, right, in valuation by you simply using the app, and you're making money.
Gotcha.
So, you know, that's a real, real important aspect to this raise. And the minimum investment is $256.
Wow.
So, I mean, in Atlanta, we blowing hookah like that every day. So we doing Jordans, we doing hookah, we doing Henny for $300 a bottle. So, you know, how about you throw a little bit of money into a startup and turn around one day and say, now I can buy a lot of Henny.
So is
you know what I'm saying? I can buy all the Henny I want.
Which one is it? Is it this
That's
one?
That's it right there.
Or is it this one?
No, absolutely. The one with the lightning bolt okay. at the top. Yes. Yes, indeed.
All right. So what's your exit plan?
So anybody that invests, right, your investment will convert at a liquidity event, which means either we exit the company, right, with an acquisition, or we go public with an IPO or a merger. Mm-hmm. So what I've been noticing, the trend that I've been noticing on these startups is the valuation of these platforms has been skyrocketing even in the last 8 years. Like Instagram sold for $1 billion in 2012 and everybody thought that was amazing. And then WhatsApp sold for $19 billion, I think, in 2014. And I think LinkedIn sold for like $24 billion in like 2016, 2017. And now you've got TikTok at a $50 billion valuation, right? So imagining a company like Fanbase exiting potentially at an evaluation like that. It's not guaranteed. I'm making no guarantees, but the trend in which these platforms are going, the valuations are skyrocketing because the youth are getting on these platforms. There's 5G that's available and everybody understands gamification and in-app purchases and payment. So it's very, very important. Like, I think there's a great, enormous amount of opportunity to invest in a platform like this. I don't want people to miss out and be like, man, I should have invested in Fanbase, you know, and then miss out.
Do you have a cap for the seed money? Like, you say, you know what? I got too many people.
So the raise closes at $1 million, right? And so it's open now. We're going to continue to raise capital. It's moving pretty fast. Like even in the last day, I think we've raised maybe $25,000 or $30,000 since yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So it's moving pretty fast. You can go to startengine.com/fanbase and invest right now. It's extremely important. And it's a great opportunity for you to, again, own part of a seed stage company. That's just the most important thing. And I want to see everybody win. I would love nothing more than 4 to 5 years from now, I'd be standing in a room with everybody that invested with a bunch of African-American millionaires that really put their capital into a company. And we turned it into something special based off of what we do.
Gotcha.
It's a great idea, man.
I'm a fan base. So verify me. So I'm verified.
Man, I could verify you right now on my phone in front of you.
All right.
We're going to invest too. Before you go, Isaac, because you know we kind of backed up a little bit. Can you tell us what's the importance of supporting those Senate seats in Georgia come January?
So, I mean, for all the energy that we put on Joe Biden and what we want him to promise, fulfilling his promises, he still needs permission. That's how government works. So the House and the Senate give the president permission to pass what he wants. So these two Senate seats, right, John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock, are key in Joe Biden passing his agenda. So if we want to be able to not say that Joe Biden didn't do anything for the African American community, part of the reason will be because we did not have these two Senate seats to allow his legislation to smoothly pass through. So that is exactly why we need to get out here in Georgia. And what I hear is a lot of people are coming to Georgia. I hear people are headed to here to post up and stay down here for a little while until this election is won. You guys should come down. Maybe if you have a chance, you would come down for a couple weeks and kick it.
We're going down there for a little
Absolutely.
Bit.
Absolutely. So we invite everybody to come down. The world is going to come here and help win this election. Donald Trump is pouting. Let him pout. He's no longer the president. We're all happy. But we have to really keep our eye on the prize and continue to vote. Like, this doesn't stop. This is only the beginning. This is not the finish line. This is the starting line, and the race never ends.
Did you see that potential for Georgia? The potential for Georgia to turn blue?
Absolutely. I mean, they've been doing voter suppression down here, those tactics, for a long, long while. Stacey Abrams shouldn't have been governor. I hope she runs again. The power in this very emerging progressive city, especially places in Atlanta and the South, Savannah, Macon, Columbus, where a lot of black enclaves are, because the black vote is really what won Georgia at the end of the day. You know, for Biden in the country, all these Democratic cities with African-American turnout. See, and the best thing about that is it gives us hope now. Because most people say, oh man, we never win in Georgia. Like, why am I get out and vote every year and nothing ever happens. But now you see with the effect of our vote, what it's done, and we flipped Georgia blue. And so now it gives us the energy and motivation, and also our neighbors in South Carolina, our neighbors in Alabama and Mississippi and in Florida to really say, you know what, if Georgia can do it, we can do it.
Absolutely.
That's really what happened. Yeah, absolutely.
As soon as I saw that, that's the first thing I said. I hit Jamie Harrison. I hit Bakari. I'm like, I don't know what we got to do, but we got to turn South Carolina blue. We got to follow what Stacey Abrams did in Georgia.
And what that does is it creates like a mentality and energy and a confidence. Like, okay, we get on our own vibe. And what that does is it helps us to actually pass legislation on the local and federal level. Like, what I would love nothing more in Georgia is to get weed decriminalized statewide and actually legalized for sale, and then somehow find some legislation that matches the amount of negative effect that the weed charges have had on the African American community to provide opportunity for us to have those grow licenses and profit off that business. The people affected by that legislation and those laws should be the ones to benefit the most. And right now that's not happening, but we need a governor in place and a state legislature in place to make sure that that happens. So Georgia can really do that. And the great thing about that is there's a lot of African-American people that own land in Georgia, a lot of black landowners in Georgia. So it's a great opportunity.
All right. Well, give us that fan base info one more time, man.
Man, startengine.com/fanbase. We're on the way to 1 million. We want you to be part of it. The minimum investment is $256. Make a page. Start monetizing your content. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend that this is what black tech and investing in black businesses and investing in black culture is about. And we'd love to have you.
We're going to have you back, Isaac, but I just wanted you to come on and talk about fan base this morning.
Yes, sir, man. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys. Right,
peace, brother. King.
The Breakfast Club.
Yeah. Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip. The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Man, happy Monday, everybody. And the People's Choice Awards were on, and we'll tell you some of the winners. And of course, we've been talking about who was going to get the People's Champion Award. You know, that was Tyler Perry. But let's start with Jennifer Lopez. She was the People's Icon of 2019.
Here I stand, so very grateful, knowing that the true measure of my success is not in box office numbers or records sold, but from the love that I feel from all of you. That the true measure is in inspiring girls of all ages and of all colors from all around the world to know that you can be anything you want and to be proud of who you are no matter where you come from. I want them to know their dreams are limited only by their imagination and determination and their willingness to never give up.
All right, man, drop on the food bombs for J-Lo, man. Come on now.
Tracee Ellis Ross won the Fashion Icon Award.
I wear my insides on the outside. And if featuring black designers at the American Music Awards helped someone see the power of black artistry, or if joining the call to wear black at the Golden Globes led to solidarity with women saying time's up on sexual harassment, then you heard me loud and clear. If fashion is the thing that draws you in, then use it as a tool for transformation.
All right, and the People's Champion Award went to Tyler Perry.
In this world, we're all digging wells. But if you just keep digging, you may be 4 inches away from every gift and every blessing that you've ever wanted in your life. Had I given up when I was homeless, when I was sleeping in my car, when I was hungry, had I given up, these people that you see on this screen right now would not be a part of my dream. There are people who are tied into your dream and your destiny, and you are worthy of getting to your goal. Keep digging. And let me tell you something, like I tell everyone here, when you get there, when you get to that water and you see it's coming and you know you have what you need, make sure that everybody you run into meets you at your worth.
All right.
All right, there were over 1 billion votes cast this year, just FYI. So this is where people actually choose who wins these awards. So some of the other winners were Bad Boys for Life, that won the movie of 2020, and Will Smith was the male movie star of 2020. Tiffany Haddish was the female movie star of 2020 for Like a Boss. Justin Bieber, male artist of 2020. Female artist was Ariana Grande. New artist was Doja Cat. Collaboration was WAP. Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion, and the comedy act of 2020 was Leslie Jones, Time Machine. The game changer was LeBron James.
Okay. I'm not mad at any of those. All sounds about right to me.
All right, former Bad Boy artist Shine. He has been elected to the House of Representatives in Belize, so congratulations to him. He
Shout
posted
to
a thank you. He said, it was the greatest humility that I accept this victory for us. We won today. This victory is for all those who are just like me in Mesopotamia, Belize, and the world over. All those who have taken a fall, all those who have stumbled on their life's journey, we all fall, but to get up and walk, run, and rise again is the purpose of life. So, okay. Yes.
Congratulations to Sharon.
You gotta love it. And now let's talk about Claudia Jordan. She's been talking about how Donald Trump had tried to come on to her before when she was doing Celebrity Apprentice. Well, now she's telling even more about that, because some people were saying, oh, well, then how can Donald Trump be racist if he actually was trying to kiss you and take you out? And here's what she had to say.
How did he treat you in Celebrity Apprentice?
Nice to me, because he wanted to let me tell you, there's more than a few slave masters that were having sex with black women. Like, you can still be racist and have sex with a black woman or want to. Like, I need people to stop with that.
All right, so there you have it. I'm Angela Yee, and that is your Rumor Report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Now, Revolt is off for this week, and everybody else, the People's Choice Mix is up next. Get your request in, 800-585-1051. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, shout out to Ro Khanna for joining us this morning. Also, Isaac Hayes III.
Salute to both of them. Ro Khanna wants to get black people into the tech world because, you know, that's the new gold rush. And Isaac Hayes has a way for black people to get into the tech world by investing in the fan base, man. And people are already hitting me up about fan base saying, do I think it's a good investment? Do I think it'll work? I don't know if it's going to work. That's why it's called an investment. But I can tell you that I'm investing some money in it. Why not?
Yep.
That's what happens with investments. It's a risk.
That's right.
You're rolling the dice. I don't know if it's going to work or not. It sounds good, so I'm going to invest in it.
All right. Well, when we come back, we got the positive note. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, Charlamagne, you got a positive note?
Yes, man. The positive note is simply this. It's Monday morning. I want y'all to remember this and think about it all day long. Think about it all week. Stop asking people who have never been where you're going for directions.
Breakfast Club, bitches.
Y'all finished or y'all?
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
The NBA Finals begin Thursday, June 6th. At 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time on ABC.
During the summer, when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends or alone on your couch with the AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, so you can enjoy all the summertime vibes, whether you're sharing pics from a rooftop, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show episode after episode. So stay connected to your favorite people and your favorite things with AT&T 5G and home internet. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
High Five Casino. High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino.